Ladies and gentlemen, buckle up for the sex. It's the Apropos of Nothing podcast.
With your hosts, Salsa,
Matt,
and Jenna.
And we are recording a night early through thick and thin adverse circumstances.
I'm so confused. What am I doing here?
Yeah, this is, daylight savings time. No, wait, no.
That did happen. It did happen. It wasn't last week, though.
But there was, it's also.
I'm still thrown off.
Today's the first day of spring, right?
Yes.
And podcasting is a nocturnal habit.
So, there we go.
For a little off, we've earned it. It's rare that I wish I could whistle. That's one of those things.
Yeah, I can't whistle either.
Yeah.
Salsa is the only whistler on this
podcast. I whistle through my teeth. Yeah, one of my coworkers is taking to making
it. It doesn't matter. You can do it.
Yeah. So I'll walk in the room and the guy goes, I'm Matt. I'm like, thanks, Seth.
So there was this one time I was at the Colorado Renaissance Festival with like BJ and Chris Meese and Breezy, and I was trying to get BJ's attention, and so I went like this. I went,
for those of you that can't see us, Jenna's doing like the index finger and little finger in your mouth, like you're gonna do that super loud whistle that weird people do.
Yeah, I was like, BJ, and I just went. And like flailed my arms all over the place, and Breezy's standing next to me. She cracks up, and finally PJ turns around and just drops to the ground.
That's good.
Not which is good. Always one of those proud moments for me, because BJ is hysterical.
BJ is one of the funniest people alive. Yeah.
And yeah, when you can break BJ, it's absolutely delightful.
Breaking BJ is my favorite porno.
I thought that was the sequel to Breaking Bad.
No, it's the Breaking Bad porno.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's the,
It's the cover? Parody?
Parody.
Parody?
Which, one of these days. Megan and I have talked about, you know, in all of our copious free time.
Making a porn parody?
No, well.
done, that's just for them.
Done, good sir. but doing a podcast that's maybe only like monthly because we have no free time that watches and reviews the porn parodies, because there's like the Simpsons one, there's like the Star Wars one, there's the Avatar
so it's
one.
A movie review show
about
porn parodies.
Yeah. Because that needs
to exist. I would listen to that.
I feel like that sounds like it'd be pretty fun. And like, you know, you get to watch porn and be like, I have the most confused boner. Like, I think that sounds really cool. So, I don't know, we've kicked that idea.
Like the Simpsons one where all the paint's just being sweated off.
Yeah, although I've heard that that was actually done with color correction for the most part.
Really?
Like, there's a budget on some of these that is astounding, and that is part of what, because I like the idea of reviewing them. Mostly from like a technical and story aspect, because I think that'd be really interesting. Oh, also TM copyright. but it's just we kind of kicked that idea around one night, and we're like that actually sounds kind of fun, like watching like you know an hour and a half of some insane porn parody and then talking about it on mic for like 30 minutes.
Huh.
We'll see. That being said,
there's
aside
the Sarah
porn,
Palin one.
Oh God.
That was a thing.
I mean, there's an everything one.
That's
it's
true.
Kind of the thing. That's why we figure we'll never run out of material.
That's true.
So that being said, aside from that, what do we all do this week?
Yep.
I
know I did 18 million things. I don't remember.
I took my family to go see Daniel Tiger.
Yeah, you did. You posted an adorable picture on Facebook.
Oh my God, it was adorbs.
Yep. Which is a thing that most of our listeners, unless you have kids, might not know what the hell that is.
Yep.
So... You may remember Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood.
Yes.
There was Daniel Tiger. Daniel
Tiger... like the audience proxy, kind of, right? Because Daniel Tiger was the one that Mr. Rogers was usually teaching the lesson to.
Yeah.
Feel.
I mean, and he was a shitty little puppet that, you know, meow meow. And then, like...
Those of you that are local and went to Build Your Own Inferno saw our Mr. Rogers use the Daniel Tiger puppet that we had to have Megan's mom ship from Florida that she had purchased in Megan's childhood. That is probably worth some money right now.
Yeah.
And Megan's mom has been insisting that we ship back ever since. She's like, you said you need it for a show. And we're like, well, we did. She's like, send it back. And Megan's like, this is my toy. And she's like, no, you send that back now.
So, oh my God. Like,
so like it's a Roald Dahl. A Roald Dahl.
It's really dull. No,
really
but now the modern incarnation of that is Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood, where it's an animated cartoon where Daniel is a little, you know, pre-elementary or preschool, kindergarten age t- tiger running around and
still young enough to learn Mr. Rogers' style lessons.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's kind of it's the next generation, so it's like Henrietta's
his wharf.
it's like Henrietta's kids and Aww. Oh the owl's kids.
Oh, but
and
somehow Aww. Daniel's not aged.
I mean, I don't understand how it works.
Daniel's a time
I don't know how it works. I don't yes. know how it works. All I know is that there are there's like the owl and a pussycat and a tiger running around also with kids.
It shows like, meow, meow, meow. What was the
Henrietta?
Was it Henrietta the cat?
Yep. Yeah. Henrietta pussycat.
It was always like something meow meow. Like
Henrietta pussycat. Yeah, okay. That was her name.
Gotcha.
And this but it's animated and they run around and they learn lessons and they sing little songs that are just two lines long that are little life lessons.
That's a not intolerable length of song.
Well, exactly. But I mean, but they repeat them many times in that episode to remind you that this is a, you know, and they're little songs about trying new things because the, you know, food wise, try new food because it might taste good. Like, that's the song.
Oh my God, I've heard that at your dinner table.
Yes.
To Lilibeth.
Yes, exactly.
Ah.
And
They invite me over for dinner. I don't know why. I mean, maybe I shouldn't have said that in front of Matt.
So
my jealousy is non-existent.
Indeed.
You guys do make amazing meals.
Right.
Or I'm just lazy. You know, like another one is if you need to use the potty, stop and go right away, flush and wash and be on your way. Like that's the whole song. But it's a little thing
that
kids can remember. And when Lilibeth goes to the bathroom now, you know, she'll get done and get up and and then she's like, okay, I need to do this and I need to do this, and so it's you know, a way to
they locked in on something
exactly.
That's good.
But,
so you saw the live version of that?
Yes, we went and saw. So it was a 90-minute thing at the public television station. And you go in and the first,
which is what, at the Orpheum here?
No, it's there's a TPT
there's an actual
building.
Place.
Okay, yeah, but there was a sign for Daniel Tiger on the Orpheum.
I mean, it might have. I don't know.
Maybe they sponsored it?
That's possible. Or that maybe they did a show and this was just like the meet and greet.
Oh, that could be. Because, yeah, like that's like kitty corner from my bus stop.
Uh-huh.
There was a like Daniel Tiger, blah, blah, blah. Like the week after it was like fucking Bare Naked Ladies or whatever. So I was like, that's weird. But
yeah, no, it's this fun thing. Like each room is 90 minutes or 30 minutes long.
Okay, if you did that, then it was clearly.
Yeah, and they're rotating new groups in every 30 minutes.
Sure.
Right. So that the groups are just like a couple dozen people in every group. And, you know, so it's bite size. And you go into the first room and they have a bunch of little things you can do and here and there. And then you move on to the next room and a couple other things. And then you move on to the last room. And the last room is the land of make-believe. And that's like got the trolley there and the owl and the pussycat's house and the castle that you could have puppets on and stuff like that. Nice. And then, of course, the big life-size mascot of Daniel Tiger shows up. And,
Everybody loses their fucking minds.
Yeah.
Basically, except Lilibeth. Like,
cool
the whole... Well,
what?
Part of it was, at this point, it was already getting to be, like, nap time.
Aww.
Oh, so she's just
and
like,
so she was getting
like
tired. Yeah, she was getting tired. She wanted
asshole.
Exactly. So
where were you 20 minutes ago?
Well, by the time he showed up, she was now scared of him because she had decided at some point she was scared of him.
Yeah, that's a fickle thing.
Because he was a tiger.
Yeah,
and so nice. So by the time we actually got there and met Daniel, she wanted none of it. And Asher, who up until this point was just happy to be along. He was the one who lost his mind. Which was not what we were expecting at all. But, yeah, he was super, super happy.
That's good.
And
those things are they're hit or miss. I mean, like, with the various trips to, like, Disney World with the kids, like, mm-hmm. This is going to be great. I can't wait to meet Mickey. Woo! And, like, here comes Mickey. Fuck that.
You're
like, what?
Mickey's a lot bigger
you
than he appears.
Like, seven
in,
Mickeys
yeah.
as we walked by other people doing photos. And then when the one comes up to you, you're just like, no! It's like, okay, I don't know how to... Okay.
All right. I mean, whatever. She seems happy that
that's
she
fine.
Was there.
Yeah, no, in retrospect, that story will change.
Yeah.
And they will rewrite history to be where they were brave as fuck and super dope, and they had a secret fist bump. And
but when you first walk in...
I want a secret fist bump.
Like, when you first walk in the door, there's a volunteer standing at the entrance putting this hairband on your head with little tiger ears on it.
Oh, cool.
So everybody's,
that's the photo, yeah.
Yeah, that's the photo. So everybody's walking around with this little orange and black striped
headband. Which is very
headband.
Josie and the Pussycats, if you saw
very, that. Very, yeah. Looks very similar to those, actually.
That's awesome. Underrated movie, by the way.
Right.
And if you haven't listened to the episode of A Real Education where they make Kelvin Hatley watch that, it's adorable.
So, oh my god, yes.
I mean, that's kind of what I did this last weekend. That's other than that, I was on call, and that sucked heinous. Yeah.
Let's see. I did things. I did all of the things. On Friday, I did PowerPoint karaoke. It was delightful
Still
and
one of
wonderful.
My favorite shows that we did.
Opened with Reverend Matt Kesson and Science
Unassailable,
Theater.
Unassailable,
or Monster Science. Yeah. Holy shit, he's amazing.
I think we mentioned him meeting Guillermo del Toro last week, right?
Yeah.
Where it was just like, he was like vindicated in his Monster Science.
Right.
And so I can only imagine the power and fury he brought to that next show.
Oh my god.
So
yeah,
I wish I could have been there,
it's,
yes.
It's such an awesome thing that he does.
It really is. And you, by the way, you have a chance to see him at Die Laughing.
What?
I'm just saying. Yeah. Here, drop that in there real quick.
That one is 7 a.m. on Sunday.
God damn.
Yeah.
Jan, those are shit. Yep.
I've been playing schedules, like, for months.
No, I get the occasional
point.
Email,
like,
so, like, I know when I'm MCing,
actually
I know
kind
when,
of
yeah,
recognize,
sure.
Like, who's going where.
So, yeah, but just a quick plug. We'll get into that later.
Yeah.
But.
Anyway, then I had, I had a couple of rehearsals for Vilification Tennis.
Which the
is
thing that
bizarre.
Made me go, before we started recording, because why would Vilten need rehearsals, if
yeah,
you're familiar at all, and if you've listened to the show, you're familiar.
Generally improv-based, but this coming Friday, we're doing Vilification Tennis, the musical.
This Friday?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck me, I gotta get tickets. Okay.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah. Okay.
And it is going to be amazing.
I'm so excited for
this. It's so much. Oh, my God.
Of course
God.
It's this Friday. Otherwise, next Friday we'd die.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Uh-huh. All right, keep up.
Look, I don't have to anymore. I fucking quit.
Yeah, but you got to keep up so you can come see the goddamn show.
Yeah, I think I realize now all I'm doing is spending more money to see a show I used to do for free.
Ha ha.
God damn it. I mean, I didn't make money doing that show because my bar tab always superseded whatever amount I made.
Well, yeah.
But at least I wasn't objectively losing money. So
right.
I fucked that up pretty bad.
So, yeah, I'm stupid excited about that.
I cannot wait. I'm
oh, God. And I'm nervous and scared, and I'm like,
well, those are all the right things to feel. Like,
all
that,
of the
that
things.
Means you have the potential to rock. So.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess literally, in this case.
Yeah. Actually, it's going to be super exciting. And then Jessa had a performance with Ostrich Committee.
Yes.
And she was amazing.
Excellent.
It's
also performing at Die Laughing, right?
Yes.
And that is
they are.
Offhand? Are those your bad mom?
Oh, I'd better know this one. She'll fucking kill me. That one is 10 a.m. on Sunday.
Oh, 10 a.m.
So
Jenna
Sunday
doesn't have to keep every fucking
good.
Show in.
Well, I would imagine she knows her daughters.
I know my daughters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because she's got two of them this year.
I don't.
Yeah.
I don't
you know the kids.
I don't know if I could rattle off all of mine.
I can't at all.
I cannot.
No, I direct people to the website and go, it looks like the kind of thing I'd be doing.
If you ask me about a specific show, I can be pretty good. Terms of Disagreement is, I believe, like 3 or 4-ish on Saturday. 3:30. It's 3:30.
There you go.
Yeah. So, anyway.
But yeah, I'll be sitting down sometime over the course of this week, compiling a list so that I can start making like the every couple day Facebook post of like BT Dubs.
Yeah,
here's when I'll be available to watch either in person or at streaming. Adjust for time zones, all of
yeah.
the people, so that you know they've got some time to kind of set a schedule and see what they want to watch.
Right.
But I think I'm doing a few things, and I'm pretty sure like every year, well, really for all of us, every year we end up doing things we didn't realize we were doing because they need one more body. And so it's like, well, I know I'll be here. You may find me elsewhere. Good luck.
Right.
So, yeah, we'll see. But anyway,
okay.
So Ostrich Committee had a show.
Ostrich Committee had a show. It was absolutely fantastic. Teenagers make the best improvisers.
Yeah.
They have absolutely, yeah, they just go
for it.
It's
funny because it's the opposite of, like, average life. Because I feel like teenage years are some of the worst for insecurity and hanging back and not wanting to put yourself out there. But you, once you establish and they believe in the safe space of theater, they accept that far more willingly than the average adult.
Yeah.
And it's a magical thing to see. So, like, watching, like, the Brave New Workshop or huge theaters, youth groups
perform,
it is not often as polished as the adults or like the long running adult groups, but compared to adults who've done the same amount of training, they are making much bolder, more fearless choices, and it's really, really.
It's fun just they're just like, oh, it's hey, this really is good, stupid. Raw let's do
improv.
It.
Improv, yeah, it's real fun to watch. Yeah. It's inspiring if you're doing it.
Like, oh yeah,
it's the kind of thing that's like, I should try to do things like that a right. lot of times because they don't have bad habits yet.
Exactly.
And that's such a
there's
big
this.
Deal.
So there was this one girl. Jessa was incredible. She did not dominate any scenes. She always added something just mm-hmm. extra fun to them. But there was this one girl who, like, she always played the same character, which is fine. Mm-hmm. Like, you've got some people that, you just establish that one character. And it was, you know, kind of a cute, insecure, nerdy character and super adorable. Her space work was incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. I'm like, that girl should go into mime.
There you go.
Like, fucking amazing. Anyway, yeah, no, they were all fantastic. So that was great. And then that evening, so like the fifth or sixth thing I did that day, I went to see Spamalot.
Oh, right.
At Woodbury Community.
With Dan.
Yep, Dan Patton and Sean McWhorter, if you remember
him. Sean's in it too.
Yeah.
Awesome. Right on.
Sean plays Patsy, and he steals the fucking show.
Nice.
It's like, that is his show, and everybody else there is to...
They're very talented.
Agreed.
Well, and it's basically, he is playing his Fest character.
Yeah, for sure.
On stage.
That's super fun.
And it's fucking perfect.
Awesome.
He does this little, like, chair kick thing that, like, in a very Sean McWhorter way, it's just like... It's like, you were brilliant.
Awesome.
And then, yeah, Dan played a few characters, but he, his main one was the historian.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, like, because it's kind of loosely based off of Quest for the Holy Grail, and right. you have the historian at one point that's talking about blah, 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 blah. He was fantastic at it.
Seems like he would be adept for that.
He was very good at being the staunch British guy.
Good.
So, yeah, it was a really good show. So that was Saturday. And then Sunday... I danced all day. And I am so fucking sore today.
I don't know why you danced to Hawaiian
Five-0. Why not?
Oh, that's a reference lost on half our audience. I
feel like
I'm going to be Godfrey to this podcast.
I did do Ville writing workshop because I have to go to those now because Jessa makes me.
Oh, that's amazing.
Right? Isn't that awful?
Mm.
Like, yeah, Mom, we're going to the workshop. I'm like, but...
See, this is why even if, like, Coder Austin gets you, like, ha, 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 you can't make me work.
God damn it, you did this right.
Yep. Timed out.
But, yeah, so I worked with an individual that will be performing for White Male Privilege Dance. I believe I've talked about this before, but he will be doing belly
also
dance.
Also appearing at Die Laughing.
Yeah. Oh. That is at 1:30.
In the a.m.
A.m. Friday night, Saturday morning, however you count those things.
Yeah, if you want to be a nerd, Saturday morning. If you want to be a cool kid who's up partying, Friday night.
Friday night.
Am I right?
What, what? Yeah. God, we're so dorky. Okay. Yep. So there will be that. And then I worked with Angela on a piece, Angela Fox.
Oh, excellent.
She and I will also be performing at White Male Privilege Dance.
Oh, fun.
We are not competing.
Sure.
Because we are not dudes.
Yeah. Exhibition piece?
Yeah.
Essentially.
So we're going to do an exhibition piece
fun.
While...
Give the judges time to tabulate?
Exactly.
Okay. That makes perfect
so,
sense.
And
she is a delightful musician and singer and stuff. So I would imagine the two of you collaborating on that would be really fun.
So, yeah. And we're doing this dance piece. And
that was a hoot last year, by the way. That was one of the highest regarded... weird ass things that came out of last year's Die Laughing. So
ridiculous.
And that's when we do it for the first time going, what the fuck? And so mm-hmm. a little polish on that should be really, really fun.
Yeah.
So
and, oh God, everybody's anyway, I talked about it last time. I could go on about how amazing that is.
Sure.
And I've been playing Monster Butt Bashers, so you know.
Monster
that's
Butt
awesome.
Bashers?
Monster Bashers.
Oh.
It's a match three game.
I if it was Monster Butt Bashers. I played my Marvel.
Or no, it's Quest. Busters.
I've got
Monster Busters.
Match three games. That's the backbone of the phone community.
Right.
You know, like, you put a different skin on it, you find the one that appeals to you. It works.
Well, so there's some of them, like, you have to match three to progress in whatever game, you know, side game or blah, blah, blah.
So I like a little bit of that.
Some of them
bullshit.
Are adventure. This one is, you're basically climbing through, you just go to different rooms and attack monsters via Match 3, and it's not... The Match 3 is the game, which is kind of what I like about it, because I don't have to deal with this other bullshit. Mm-hmm. Like, I played Gardenscapes for a while.
Yeah, I've seen ads for that in other games.
I recommend not. The whole premise for that one is that you have inherited this mansion with a dying-off garden from your uncle or whatever. And
bring it back to its glory or something.
Yeah, you bring it back to its glory. But there's this butler that comes with the house, apparently, named Austin.
Good name.
Yeah.
For a douchey butler.
Austin's a douchey name. Such a dick.
Sorry, Jenny.
Like, everything that he says is just, like, condescending as fuck all. And you're just like...
Or is it butler?
He's like, oh, good job. And, like, it says good job, but you know you can hear the, aw, look at
is
you.
Matching things together. My coworkers are always like, oh, bless your heart. Mm-hmm. Is the southern fuck you, which is the equivalent of the Minnesotan, like, well, that's interesting.
Yes.
Like,
yep.
Yeah. So it's,
bless your heart. Yep.
That's bad news.
So, yeah, and it's weird because, like, you do these match three games that are chores for cleaning up the garden while your butler pays you. It's all very bizarre.
That is somehow boring.
It's awkward. Anyway, yeah, that's what I got.
Fair enough.
Yeah. And then, putting together Die Laughing Shit, always and constantly. Course, yeah.
We'll do a big heavy hit on Die Laughing next week.
Yeah, we will.
We'll touch on it again later this episode.
Punch it in the face like a Nazi.
Let's see, what did I do? So this last week, I did a photo shoot.
Yeah, you did.
A photo shoot with Carr.
Holy shit, that man's amazing because he made you look good.
He really did.
I know.
It was weird.
It was bizarre. No! Have you seen those pictures?
I kept looking at it. Every time it would go past my feet, I would look at it and go, I don't know how I feel about this.
Were you aroused?
No, but there was just this intensity that I couldn't. I couldn't stop looking at.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yes, I was aroused.
Yes, yeah,
there we go. Now the truth called comes it. Out. The tooth comes out, as the dentist said.
Oh God.
It was really fun. I did about an hour in a studio we rented, and the reason being, like, Carr's, like, got a few of us that he knows. That he's like, okay, look, I got a bunch of new equipment, and a bunch of people are starting to ask for studio time. I'm not going to charge people to make sure I know how all my equipment works. Come in, I'll shoot you for free, but you have to put up with me learning. And so, yeah, every now and then it's like, oh, that's weird. And, like, click, 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 chick, 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 some weird thing, like, figure out a lighting thing. But at the end of the day, like, Carr has a really good eye. Like, if you go to, like, Carr Hagerman Photography on Facebook, you can see stuff he's done. Like, Duder knows what looks good.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the only real delays in what we were doing was stuff with, like, the equipment. And so in, like, an hour, we probably took 200 pictures. And he sent me and posted three of them on Facebook within a couple hours of doing it, with just no editing. Just like, here you go, here's three of them, just so you can get an idea of what we're ending up with. And then he's going to go back and do, like, you know, lighting, color correction, all that bullshit. And he's like, yeah, hopefully you can use them for some promo shots or something. And I'm like, these are incredible.
Yeah.
And he's like, I don't know, like, whatever. He's like, I wanted to try to show a side of you that I don't think you've made part of your public persona ever.
Sure.
And I was like, okay. And he says, well, you've played up the fool, the goofball, the punching bag, both for gain and comedic effect for a long, long time. And based on the comments so far in this photo, people have difficulty getting over that. But I wanted to show people what I think you can do versus what everybody assumes you are. And that's a pretty cool thing for someone to do for you.
Right?
And so there's not a single picture knowingly taken where I'm smiling. Not that I wasn't having a good time, that wasn't fun, but it was mostly just us talking and thinking, you know, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And it is just shots taken in gaps in the conversation. And then there's one or two that I think he took while I would be telling a quick anecdote that reminded me of where there's probably some that might come out where I'm laughing or smiling or something. But
sure.
The idea was you did, like, some different things. Like, the funniest one is the absurdest one where I'm sitting on, like, a kid's 6-inch-tall IKEA stool. And he goes, but you have to look stone cold serious in every one of these. Otherwise, it's not funny. I'm like, you're fucking right. So it was me just looking like fucking Batman at the grave of his parents.
Oh, God.
Sitting on this little four-legged stool that is barely up to my ankles. And so my knees are up to my chest.
And I'm just like, oh, my God.
You know, he's like, this is the funniest fucking
swear photo. To me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. This is the funniest fucking photo we'll take all day. But there's no zaniness to it.
Yeah.
You just have to look at it and go, this is absurd. And I love it. That's like one of my favorites.
Yay!
But it was really, really fun. It was really cool. And then as a bonus, got to go out and have you know, a drink and like some food with him and Porter afterwards. So I haven't had a chance to hang out with Porter, I think, since Fest. So okay. That was always great because, like, you know, one of my friends that I miss the most. So yeah, had a great night doing that. That was all super fun. And then the next night, got to go do Double Blind. Which is still one of the best improv shows you can go see for only $5
damn
on
right.
Thursday. And got to perform with Aaron Kennedy and Nick Glover, Jay Kistler. I'm going to forget the other people. But it was a fucking great night. And just, you know, as it always is.
Right.
Show up, hang out with improvisers you know and love, and meet improvisers you don't know and will now love. So that was delightful. That was great.
That was very well said, sir.
And then lastly, I rounded out my week with a pretty lazy weekend that consisted of two things. One, I went and auditioned for the upcoming Fearless shows that will take place on a fucking riverboat.
Yes.
Because if you're going to do murder or mystery shows, at some point you got to do one on the Jonathan Paddleford.
Right.
And so
I really wanted to audition for that.
And I was like, I'm going to go fucking audition. I'm going to put down my availability, which is a little sparse because I now am producing and directing a fringe show and acting in a different fringe show. So if you can work on my schedule, I'd love to be in this show. So I went and auditioned. We'll see.
Like, I didn't go to the auditions for the last Mystery Lodge one either. Mm. I looked at both of them and I was just like, I can't.
No, and it's fine. Like, it's a tough time to do it. Right? Fest starts in the middle of summer, spring. It's a tough time. But I was like, I'm going to at least go audition because, again, it doesn't hurt just to do the audition sometimes just to try.
I guess that's practice.
You know, yeah. And so, but then again, auditioning with Duck is like the easiest thing in the world.
Yeah, I agree.
If you ever get a chance to audition for a show Duck is directing or producing, do so because he is an amazing casting director and will teach you what to do and what not to do in an audition while making you feel totally comfortable.
Yep.
Yeah. When we did Caucasian Aggressive Pandas, we were both the auditioners for the show, and it was a blast. Like, we were just relaxed and chill. And one of the things I like to do as a director is, like, make other people feel comfortable.
Yep.
So, and Duck was, like, right on board with
Duck
that.
Duck is absolutely there.
Like,
The only thing that was weird for me was that the assistant director for this show is Megan. So I had to audition for the show with Megan in the room and be like, oh, time to do a silly voice in front of my girlfriend who's going to be like, later on in the shower or something, she'll be like, do that voice, you twat. like, that was awkward. But I feel like I didn't manage to go for it despite that, which is good, because that means I feel like I could do that now in front of strangers. So
I'm just imagining in bed. Okay, now do it with an English accent.
Oh, God.
Okay, now do it with
God. It is surprisingly difficult, because, like, when... It's the well, for people that aren't us or Rennies in general or whatever.
Right.
It's the nudity clause. Most people would be uncomfortable taking off their clothes at a party. If all the same people attending that party were in a cast with them and you're backstage and have to do a costume change, they'd get naked just fine. Or if you go to a club, like a health club, or, you know, a fitness club, you'd have no problem changing the locker room from those same people. But context matters.
Yeah.
And I don't have a problem getting naked in front of people at a party. Right,
excluding us.
Okay.
Grannies and cousins.
Oh, okay.
I made the caveat.
All right.
But you know what I mean?
I'm not feeling well. I'm missing things.
Like, you know, if you go to a locker room, you'll get naked in front of your friends, no big deal. But if you just walk from your bathroom to your bedroom naked because you just took a shower, they'd be like, what the fuck? You know, and that's, I think, most people. And
weird.
The person directing the show, that's casting the show, becomes the locker room person. So I know Duck, we're friends.
It's the joking envelope.
It is. You know, like, Duck and I are friends, blah, blah, blah. However, because he is now taking on that role, it's a clinical thing. You know, it doesn't matter. And then, you know, but you add, in this particular instance, Megan, who, again, is put into a clinical role for this. And yet, like, some little part of your brain is like, it's like if your, you know, if your brother-in-law was your gynecologist.
Ah!
It'd be a little weird. You'd be like, I know what you're doing, and I know it's very above board, and, you know.
Yeah.
Whatever. But, like, you'd probably be like, you know, probably not your ideal.
Awkward.
But, you know, but I feel like I got through it and, you know, spread the legs as well as I could.
Jesus Christ. Yelled. Stop with the meth. Just stop with the... Oh, God.
I really like...
Why? Why? No.
I could stand to hear some more.
Right? No.
And so... well, you can't. You'd be in stirrups. But no, but it was as per usual with a show Duck is directing, a really great audition process.
Yeah.
And I'm very excited. I think it'll be a fun show. I love the idea of the challenge of doing a show on a riverboat, and what a great thing to be able to have as a story, if nothing else.
Well, on your resume. Oh,
right, exactly. So I think that sounds super fun. Lastly, and this might take
no, a minute, I think it sounds super fun, and I really hope you get the part, and I really regret, and I really regret not being able to, do it.
I just think, you know, who knows? These may come up again.
Yeah, that's true.
But the other thing I did this weekend was fuck all, which was amazing because I know this is the last chance I have for probably 3 months,
even on St. Patrick's Day.
Yes,
good. So did I.
So yeah, of course, we're all old enough to know better. And so what happened?
Well, my wife went out. Well, her, because my wife, she's a high school teacher and a theater teacher, so she was directing the play, and the play just got done.
Yeah.
And the final day was Friday, St. Patrick's Day.
That's fair.
So after her play, she
was like,
wanted to drink. So she went out and she went and saw the boys. Yeah, exactly. She saw the boys play, you know, had a few pints, and I stayed home with the kids.
Yeah.
And I won. I'm okay with that.
You know, I worked and Megan worked on Friday, and then we met up. She had stopped at a grocery store during her lunch break, and then we went to the liquor store together. So we had almost 3 pounds of corned beef, like some onions, some potatoes, etc., that we threw in a crock pot Friday night after work. We picked up a bottle of whiskey, a 12-pack of the mixed Guinness variety pack.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
And then a bottle of... Oh, fuck me. It's a bottle of gin that was called, like, Bloogie or something. It was, like, the name was so silly. We bought it, and it turned out to be fantastic.
Oh, good. Well, yeah, you should, like, remember that fucking gin.
I know, right? No, I'll make sure I know by next week, because it was so... But it was, like, it was literally... It sounds like a silly word you'd say to, like, surprise a toddler. And it was Bloogie. Really fucking good. And so...
Blücher.
Yeah, Blücher. But we started our corned beef and all that shit, and then made like chili cheese fries and other bullshit. And because it was Friday, where Marvel's Iron Fist debuted, over the course of this last weekend, I've watched the entirety of Iron Fist. And so then woke up Saturday morning, had chili cheese fries, a new batch, for breakfast.
Nice.
And by lunch, when we got hungry, pulled out the rye bread we'd purchased and the sauerkraut and made corned beef, onion, sauerkraut,
nice.
And just gorged. I have no clue how many calories are deadly, but I was pushing it this weekend. Because every time, it was like every 3-4 hours, it was like, you hungry? I mean, maybe a little. We'd go make another sandwich. I will point out, there was... a tiny Tupperware left of that 3 pounds of corned beef.
Jesus fuck.
Like, and it was 2 people eating it over 2 days. And there's almost none. There's enough for like a single person's lunch.
Yeah. For Meat Club.
Brutal.
For Meat Club at work, I made corned beef. And that
so good.
Just disappeared.
It was so fucking
good. It just
good.
Disappeared.
So we did that. But okay, the point I'm getting to is, aside from all the delicious food, we binged. And so I've now seen from start to finish Marvel's Iron Fist. And I'm not going to spoil it because it only came out 2-3 days ago as of this recording. But as much as it pains me, I'm going to be on the side of all the internet and go, it sucks. It really sucks. And it's bizarre because this is that like misstep you assume at some point Marvel's going to have to make, where everything they've done since like Iron Man has been pretty good, if not great. Like Iron Man 3 is a little weak.
Well, correct me
Thor is a little weak. Thor 2 is a little weak.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Really, the main reason they made this show is so they can make the
Defenders. But the thing is, like, there are stories to tell.
No, there are. But I kind of got the feeling with this one that, unlike the other ones, which were kind of made because they wanted to. This one, they went, we want to make the Defenders, that means we need to throw together
this feels like shovelware.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, is that, like, you don't have to use Iron Fist. Like, Defenders has had, you know, the Hulk, which obviously they're not going to do. Like, they've had so much trouble doing the Hulk. But, like, there are multiple members. You don't have to pick him. It makes sense to pick him because for most of the 70s, Luke Cage and Iron Fist, or Power Man and Iron Fist, was a comic. It was a team-up book. So having those two characters meet and interact makes a lot of sense. And even as bad as this show was, there's a hint there of what would make those two characters tie together that I won't get into until we've gotten a couple weeks farther on. But it is a really uninspired leading man with not one clear villain. And I think you end up with like 5-ish that come in for varying lengths of the series of 13 episodes, which is a lot of villains to pop in and pop out.
Yeah.
Some of whom you're meant to sympathize with, and then not sympathize with, and then sympathize with again, which again, over 13 episodes, that's not a long time.
No.
We're talking some like Game of Thrones shit, except that you have only 13 episodes. And the fight choreography is... Jenna, you will laugh. It is... like high school drama.
It's not Daredevil.
Oh no. It is not what I would put together. With no fighty, wappy, knifey, stabby, any kind of training. Like, it is. Because the thing is, you watch Daredevil and you go, fuck me, this is awesome. And you watch this and go, this is. The damningest I can be with faint praise is it reminds me of Smallville. This is a CW show.
I don't think I ever saw Smallville.
Okay, and I enjoyed Smallville for what it was, but what it was a bunch of people standing around talking about things instead of doing them.
Yep.
And when there was an action sequence, it was choreographed by, I don't know, one of the, like the...
A toddler.
The best boy, the grip.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the cinematographer. Like, it was not done by someone who was fighting. And so you're like, oh, you have the literal greatest kung fu... hero on the planet, a guy who's been imbued with supernatural skill because he's so good at kung fu, who is doing like hua hua MacGyver fights, and we're like, what is happening right now? It is truly awful. And you know, we realized, you know, 4 episodes in, this sucks and we don't want to watch this anymore. We also realized we never want to watch this again, so let's just blast through it and get done, because Defenders is coming regardless.
Yeah.
Whether or not this show is good or not does not stop Defenders. It's probably filming already, if it's not already done filming.
Right.
So, fine. If there's any inkling of backstory that might become relevant, at least we'll know it. And the thing is, even as bad as this is, if Defenders, you know, which is going to be the team-up movie with Daredevil, Power Man, Jessica Jones, Iron Fist, and...
Luke Cage.
No, Power Man. Yeah, Luke Cage. But so when you have the team-up movie of all the previous Netflix... Marvel characters, if at that point all he does is show up and whoop ass, that will probably be good. And you can kind of forget the backstory happened, because then it won't matter.
Like, I had a date like
but
that
the
once.
But the more they drop all the backstory they give him, the better. I don't know. So I'll be curious as people manage to get their way through this thing, because, you know, it's basically 13 hours of shit to get through. So if it is rare that I ever binge something in the course of, like, 2 days, but I had that weird opportunity and knew I would get no opportunities going forward. Listeners, as you get through this, I would suggest, for at least the next little bit, message me on Facebook personally with your ideas so you don't spoil them by posting them on the AON wall. But once we get a little farther out, we can maybe start a discussion on, like, an AON Facebook thread or something. But I'll be curious to see what people think, because I have seen friends of ours say they liked it. But... overwhelmingly, it's been pretty bad. And so I would actually caution people to just not bother. Because I bet whatever you get in Defenders will be enough. Because it'll be like, oh, guy with a glowy fist that punches shit. That's all I wanted, and I didn't get that. Like, it made me super sad. I never get to spend time watching a TV show, and I did, and I chose poorly. Anyway. So that's what I did. Should we take a break?
Yeah, I think it's about break time.
Sure, legit. All right.
Yeah.
We're going to take a break while we regroup after the disappointment that is Iron Fist.
After the disappointment that is the first half of this episode.
Yeah, there's also that.
Yeah. What?
Anyway, and we'll be back with bigger and better things in just a moment.
If you guys like what you heard, come visit us on AONpodcast.com and leave a comment. Or you can send us an individual email at salsa, Matt, or Jenna at AONpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback at AONpodcast.com.
And we're back. I'm still Matt.
I'm Salsa.
I'm Jenna.
And we are tired.
Yes.
Because it's been a busy week.
We are a little tired.
We're a little tired. So fire the missiles.
I'll take a nap.
Fire the missiles. Once again, as we'd like to point out to you, our favorite pick-me-up is some True Stone coffee, which you yourself can buy. I know, it sounds ridiculous that you yourself might be able to drink the very self-same coffee.
The elixir.
That we enjoy. Because, you know, you may not live where we live.
The elixir that produces nuts, such liveliness.
Yeah, the sweet juice of the bean. Mm. Maybe you live in Minneapolis, but not, like, right next door. Maybe you live in Minnesota, but, like, greater Minnesota, farther away from us. Maybe you live in a neighboring state. Perhaps even a neighboring coast.
Are you saying that Minnesota outside of the Twin Cities is greater?
There's no one as the greater. Or maybe you live in a different country, or perhaps even on the goddamn side of the planet. Looking at you, Katie.
I
would assume Katie there. I should fact check this before I pimp that. It might cost more. The point.
It might cost a bit more,
regardless of what it costs.
But we can help mitigate that cost.
We can fix that at least somewhat, because if you go to True Stone Coffee and get yourself some delicious coffee.
Yours might not be a day old.
You can get that shipped to your door and get a discount by using the promo code...
Apropos.
Or... Salsa.
Hmm?
Say it right.
It right.
Or apropos... to get 10% off your order.
Make me do all the work around here.
It's the fucking goal. Yes, you can get all your favorite coffees from True Stone, and if you don't have a favorite yet, order one. It will become your favorite quickly. Get that shipped direct to your door. Nice, fresh beans. You grind them every time for single-use purposes, as I do, as anyone should, to make them as fresh and delicious as possible. And hey, as we've mentioned before, you can also get that sweet, sweet cold press, which is a delight unto itself, that is an order of magnitude better than any energy drink you'll buy at a freaking gas station. Ugh. So, once again, True Stone Coffee, head over there, use the promo code...
Apropos.
Apropos.
Ooh, nice, I like it. Now we're talking. And get yourself a discount, get it shipped direct to your door, so you can be as lazy as you need to be.
Yes.
Thank you again, True Stone, for sponsoring us, and thank you everyone who has ordered from True Stone using our promo code. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
Apropos.
For
fuck's sake.
Moving on from there, we should get into some Fast Five.
Fast Five.
Fast Five. Once again, we are going through the archives and doing some slightly older Fast Fives. So this particular Fast Five comes to us from Mud. Thank you, Mud, longtime contributor and friend of the show, and just cool dude in general. Mud's a good dude.
Yeah, he is.
This one comes to us from February 1st, 2013. And... once again, if you've never heard the show or are new to Fast Five, Fast Five is A or B Coke or Pepsi type choices. We answer what we think we would choose, and then we open a second email to get the context. So in this particular
Every time you mention the date of the email that was sent us, it just reminds me of how fucking long we've been doing this.
Like 7 years. Yeah. Right? It's a long time.
You're old.
Question one.
Yeah.
Beefcake or Q-tip?
Beefcake.
I'm going to go Q-tip. I was Q-tip's coach.
I'm torn.
So I feel like I kind
of
really, gotta.
I don't know what to make of this.
I mean, good luck.
I know which one I'm going to ask a favor of sooner, so I'm going to say Beefcake.
Yes.
Question two, Democrat or lazy American? I remember we're talking about context of 4 years ago, so I'm not quite sure what that means.
Democrat.
Lazy American?
I'm going to go late. I mean, which one am I more like? A lazy American, I guess? Okay. Question three. Matt being kicked in the junk.
Yes, that one.
That one.
Or drawing on Matt with a Sharpie.
Still the first one.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with the second one. And question four, Eric Clark or Eric Knight?
This is old. Eric Knight.
Knight.
No, I'm going to go Clark.
There's never been a guest.
Oh. Yeah, but I'm not even... Eric Knight.
Which one's the older vilifier?
Clark? I think Eric Clark was older.
Because the old Animal Corps is pretty old.
Yes.
Yeah, but Eric
Eric's Knight, been like he's been around forever, a long time. Though. Mm-hmm. Eric Clark was my partner, so I'm going to go with
But I feel like him. Who's been around longer is more of a objective question, and these are usually subjective.
Eric Clark.
Cool.
And finally, match game or Vilten home game.
I mean, does home game have a theme song? Did we use this for home game too?
I think we used it for any time we could piss off Tim.
Oh, I suppose. Well, then it's the same theme song, so
maybe that's
so that's probably not the question.
Which one do I prefer to play, match game?
I really like both. Match game I like because there's audience participation, and I like the random factor that involves. So, match game.
I feel like I usually have more fun playing match game.
No.
Alright. Because match game is a bit more fun, as opposed to I feel like I need to
come up with
something funny. Yeah,
the pressure is way lower on that. Yeah.
Because you have other people to share in your pain.
Yeah. So, question one, Beefcake or Q-Tip?
Q-Tip.
Kinkier sounding sex position.
Oh god. Q-tip.
I think I gotta switch to Q-tip. Beefcake just sounds like some...
It just sounds like a dick.
Yeah.
Like...
Just like some heavy pounding. Whereas Q-tip sounds a little kinkier.
He sounds
kinkier.
Like a dick, so...
It's like...
You got some finger action going on.
What's the thing from Christopher Guest movie we started watching?
Oh.
Cochleal sex.
Oh god.
Becoming popular.
Rose.
Question two.
Birds.
Democrat or lazy American?
That's a Democrat.
I think I went lazy American.
I think so, yeah.
Which one would insult Fitz more?
Oh, shit.
That's actually a very...
Oh, half. That oh. is...
Fuck me.
Oh, God.
I'm going to say lazy American.
I'm going to go with Democrat.
You think? I feel like lazy American, because I feel like he's halfway there on the Democrat. Because being a libertarian, he is all the way to the right on money, all the way to the left on sex. But what he doesn't abide is not busting your ass.
Yeah.
And so I feel like he would be more insulted by someone being lazy.
Busting your ass.
Wow.
That dude works hard.
No, I know he does. I'm just saying that if I was sitting at the campfire at Fest, and we were just cracking jokes, and I called him lazy... 50% odds he's going to go, fuck yeah, I'm lazy. Why do you think I make so much money? So I can be lazy, you know?
For comedic purposes.
Whereas if you call him a Democrat, I think he's going... There's a lot less opportunity for that to be played off.
Yeah, though, lies with the laziness.
If you were actually trying to hurt him...
Yeah, if you're trying to really...
Going like, that...
One was to say, I have no goats, and he has one, I'd like to get his goat.
Okay, no, I think you've swayed me.
Yeah.
You've swayed me.
Question three, Matt being kicked in the junk, Matt being drawn with a Sharpie, which is funny.
Yeah.
We've already, moving junk. On.
Yeah.
I think the Sharpie, the junk is a one trick pony. I think we've done more.
But it's one that we've done.
It's a funny fucking pony.
Paid off a lot over the years.
what's drawn with the Sharpie?
It doesn't say, it just says...
Yeah, see, that drawing kind of depends.
Yeah, still going with first.
What if you draw a dick...
And then kick it?
Yeah.
Just break my jaw?
Yes.
Dicks.
Yep.
Yep, that's what we're talking about.
Okay. Dicks are funny.
Okay, God. Question four, Eric Clark or Eric Knight. Which is the creepier-looking pedophile?
Oh, God. Oh, shit.
I mean, ooh. Eric has the van. Eric has the van. Yeah. Sorry, Eric. I know you don't have the pedophile jokes much anymore, but like that's...
Okay, have I told the van story on this show?
The suckers?
No. Oh,
maybe different
stuff. Oh, my God. No, this is brilliant. And I have talked with Eric Knight about this before. I'm like, because it's just a funny story. It's not actually anything to do with him being a pedophile or other. But he has that creepy white van. And he used to live on the same block as an elementary school that we were looking at for Jessa when she was gonna switch to elementary school in the area.
The story would go on.
Mm-hmm. And so my baby daddy and I went to the school. We looked at it. We go around the block to get back to the main road, and he's like, "Well, that's ominous." I'm like, "Oh, don't worry, that's Eric Knight's van." And he goes, "Oh, well, as
doubles
long as
down.
Right." He goes, "As long as we know the name of the guy that's going to kidnap and attack our child, that's fine."
Yeah, I mean, that's how that goes.
So, yeah, it's a fun story.
He's not actually question a five.
Guys, Jesus Christ.
Match game or Vilten home game? More enjoyable Vilten game to play.
Yeah,
I think we answered that. I think, because I do like home game.
Oh, I love home game.
But home game was, for me, the best writing process.
It still is for me. Even when I'm performing it on stage, it's a writing process.
Yeah, yeah. It's sitting around with a bunch of vilifiers and just riffing and then going, "Oh, that got a pretty big laugh. I'm going to write that down." And even if I change a little bit or tweak it, I've got the bones of a joke there, mm-hmm. if not a complete joke. It's very effective.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, Salsa, you nailed it. The pressure's off on match game. That is a one and done, can this get a laugh right this second?
Yep.
And it can be super topical and disposable because of that. And, like, yeah, I think match game is real fun. And because you can also be absurd and throw the match game more than I think you can home game. You don't try to do home game somewhat legitimately.
Home game is a lot more cerebral.
It kind of makes the whole thing fall flat. Yeah. Whereas, like, match game, I've drawn just a picture of Batman to make fun of Chris, and like, that works.
Yeah.
Because there are five other real answers.
Right.
And that, you know what I mean? Like, there's match game is a really fun game.
I think it also has, it moves a little quicker.
That too,
it does.
Yeah, especially, like, the fact that, like, having done it.
Both of them have waiting sections, but I think match games
is kept minimal because we've learned that you have to do so.
Yep.
So, yeah.
And you're not writing out a full sentence, usually.
Yeah, exactly. It's very quick. It's just a couple lines or a couple words for a joke.
Yep.
All right. Thank you, Mud, for sending us yet another Fast Five, one of our top contributors. We appreciate that. I swear, we're only 3 months from being up to current.
Jesus fuck.
And then all will be right with the world. That said, before we get out of here, things that are coming up. Dare I say, die laughing? And we'll get into other things too, but let's just say, the big one, of course.
I was actually going to suggest that we finish with it.
Well, we can't.
But now that you've started.
Thank you. But we can get individual acts and whatnot. But the big one, of course, is Die Laughing, which cannot be pimped enough. Because this is the lifeblood of our company. We produce shows all year long. We do Give to the Max Day now. We do little things here and there to raise awareness and to fund the silliness that we do as part of being a theater company. But we don't exist and we do not get to make shows if it is not for the success of this show each year. This is our NPR fundraiser or whatever time.
Pledge drive.
This is it. This is the big time. Like, we have little things that kind of help boost us throughout the year. But
Amazon smile.
If this doesn't work, the whole thing doesn't work.
Yep.
So this is the big one, folks. And it is April Fool's weekend because, holy shit, the calendar sometimes smiles upon you. And that is hilarious. So, 7 p.m. March 31st through 9 p.m. April 2nd, we will be doing a 50-hour live comedy marathon at the Phoenix Theater in Uptown, Minnesota. That's on 26th and Hennepin. You can go see that in person if you are close enough. And you can, of course, watch that streaming at dielaughingmarathon.com. We'll talk more about the specific things you might see there in a minute. But while that is looming on the horizon, there are other things that will be happening sooner or around that time that deserve a mention. So,
all right.
What else is going on?
Well, as stated earlier, this coming Friday at 10 p.m. is Vilification Tennis, the musical.
I'm super excited about that.
There will
I think
be
I mentioned last week that was
musical
one of the
songs
I regretted about quitting Vil for.
There will be musical insults.
Oh, so
there will be singing. There will be a rap battle.
An epic rap battle?
An epic rap battle.
I like it. I like it. That's super good.
Let's see.
Please tell
and
me
then
somebody's filming this.
I don't know.
I don't know. That used to be me. Not my problem anymore.
I think I still have the camera set.
You may well. I didn't have her quite some time at the end there.
And then this coming Sunday at 7 p.m., the Encyclopedia Show at Kieran's.
Ooh, which one's this?
This is Prairie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I believe we have an all-female cast.
Oh, fun.
So that'll be delightful.
Excellent.
Absolutely nobody's going to talk about Little House on the Prairie, I assure you.
I mean, I feel like I've heard of sarcasm.
And then, Matt, you and I have a show that we're doing after Die Laughing.
We do. Before we get to that, because it is slightly related, I will point out that tomorrow, or Wednesday the 21st, because this will go up probably tonight or tomorrow afternoon, so you may have a short notice to go see this, is the next edition of the Not-So-Silent Planet,
ooh,
which is the, as far as we know, only speculative fiction, horror, sci-fi open mic in the country.
Yes.
Hosted by your friend and ours, Pablo, Philip Andrew Bennett-Low.
I love that guy.
The next one will be Wednesday the 21st at Kieran's Irish Pub, starting at 8:30. Featuring Shannon Custer as the guest performer, who is fucking amazing if you've not seen her before. And that, of course, will slide directly into the thing Jenna brought up, which is our stupidity.
What?
I mean, smart.
It's, well, I mean, there are worse things I've done.
Sure, but
there are,
like,
worse things you've done.
Sure.
It's a Philip Andrew Bennett Lowe show.
Oddly enough, the answer to both of yours is getting married.
That shit's funny.
So anyway, Monday, April 3rd, at the Phoenix Theater is...
Same location as Die Laughing, conveniently enough.
Right?
I'm just keep
gonna,
a cot in the basement.
I'm going to leave, and then I'll come back.
Yeah, fortunately I have only a few blocks away.
Yeah, jerk.
Yep.
Anyway, Presumption or The Fate of Frankenstein.
Yep.
A live reading including many fantastic voices. Holy shit.
Yeah, this is a murderous row.
This cast is, oh gosh, who all's in it? Tim Uren, Calvin, Joshua Scrimshaw, Jen Scott, I believe?
Yes.
Tamara, who is amazing. And,
of course, Pablo.
Yeah. I am missing someone.
Colts. And S. Evans. He wrote them all in a weird hippie style on the Facebook event. So,
okay.
I'm terrible with that. Anyway. This is a spin-off of the Not-So-Silent Planet show, and now podcast, for that matter, wherein Philip will be mounting, I think, monthly? Or every couple months, maybe it's quarterly, I forget. Periodically, we'll say. Philip will be mounting the earliest known stage production versions of works that fit the purview of the Not-So-Silent Planet. Horror, sci-fi, speculative fiction, that kind of thing.
Is that accurate?
Yep.
Huh.
So, was it Presumption? Is that the name of it?
Presumption or The Fate of Frankenstein.
Is the first known stage adaptation of Frankenstein. It's from 18-something, I forget. But he's planning
on... And I think that makes it, like, the first known sci-fi speculative...
I think it might
anything
be. Yeah, I think it is.
In a
I could
stage
be wrong.
Production.
Come to the show and find out.
Yeah.
But yeah, the idea is to go back to the earliest versions of some of these works.
Before some of the tropes that eventually became a thing.
And you watch people try to figure out, like, what is a monster?
Right.
And it's interesting, because even in film, if you go back to, you know, and that's a relatively new art form, we're like talking like 100 years, and the way that evolved even in the first 20 years of, like, what is a monster? And it's like, well, it's a guy with eyeshadow.
Yeah.
Right.
And then it was like, oh, now they get, you know, and then you get into like universal monsters and all that. And like, we didn't really have like a...
Well, like the original Nosferatu was
this
creepy, bald, pale dude. And then he eventually became these suave, sexy dude in a cape.
Because, you know, Nosferatu obviously also...
And now when you, now whenever somebody says vampire, that's what you think of.
But you start with Nosferatu or Cabinet of Dr. Caligari.
Yeah.
And you have these ideas of these people trying to convey... the horror that was left to the imagination in books and not knowing how to do it.
Right.
And so what we're going to do is read what is probably in some ways a very clumsy interpretation of this, and yet at the same time is going to be fascinating as a little time capsule.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm super excited for it. I think it's going to be fucking awesome. And for you horror or speculative type fiction type folks, what a cool opportunity to check out something that has probably not been remounted in quite some time.
That'll be interesting.
I feel like that is not a thing that you're going to be able to see everywhere. So, there is that. I feel like there was at least one more thing I wanted to pimp. There's a whole ton of Die Laughing stuff showing up on my thing.
So many Die Laughing things.
No, maybe that's it. Cool. So, that said, Die Laughing. You hit up dielaughingmarathon.com.
Oh, God.
You can click on the schedule now and see when everything is. Just looking at a few of the ones that are popping up on my Facebook thing. Friends and favorites and people we know. Screw It is doing Screw Cap, wherein they've allowed
it's,
people...
It's an offshoot. It's not...
It's an offshoot. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's the ladies screw of Screw It.
Yep.
But it's the... What do they call it? The triple threat or the...
Yeah.
Three pack or whatever
variety
it is.
Variety pack.
But variety pack, yeah. So it's Dawn, Lana, and Angela. Three hilarious and insanely awesome women doing a thing where they've challenged people to send in the idea of give us a recipe for a cocktail using boxed wine.
Boone's Farm.
Boone's Farm.
Yeah, Boone's Farm specifically.
Yeah.
And they will be doing that for like an hour.
Oh, my God.
That's Friday at 10 p.m., March 31st, at the Phoenix for Die Laughing.
Get the drinking done early.
Woof. Yeah. You know what? Yeah. It's going to be amazing. There's also... Ange Olsen.
Yes.
Is doing a show. Remind me, it's called Confess.
Tales. Stories of a Pure Romance Consultant.
Yes.
Confessions or something.
Sounds amazing. We had her on the show a couple of years back now. Ange is one of my favorite performers from the Renaissance Festival and been a very awesome guest.
She's actually a very instrumental person in my childhood.
Yeah,
as
truly.
A strong female growing really, up out at festival. Like, yeah.
Very, very awesome performer. I respect a great deal, so I will absolutely be there. That is Saturday at 1 a.m. So right as... And here's the thing. We should point out, too, with like some of the times, you're like, oh, 1 a.m., blah. Remember, this is essentially a 50-hour-long party.
Yeah.
And so 1 a.m. is about when this kicks into gear.
It really is.
So... We will all go there. The show will start at 7, and most of us will go to bed at 5 a.m. And that's when the real work begins for those folks that were smart enough to sleep the night before. And so it is
none of us.
Amazing. So, if you know, plan on some late nights, you're going to try to hang with us. For example, Saturday morning, 5 a.m., drunk story time.
Yep, I'll be in that.
That is also happening at Die Laughing. Is that the one I believe Aiden is organizing? Which is exactly what it sounds like. Because you know what? 5 a.m. is the perfect time to start drinking if you've got 40 hours left.
To be fair, I will have been drinking because we've got AON and High Five back to back.
Yep.
Oh, and man, I'll guys, be doing are that? We going to have some fun with that?
I'm going to be so fucking
We've
drunk.
Got some great ideas. Yeah. By the way, guys, I should talk to you off mic, because I have an idea. You've got 11 a.m. Saturday, Squash Banana performing. Mm-hmm. That's Bree and Jeff, two of our favorite improvisers, doing what they do so well, which is be better improvisers than I will ever be, and being generous enough to share their talents. Mm-hmm. Absolutely love those guys. Hey, speaking of improv, Saturday at 5 p.m., Wise Fools.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what?
What? Those guys.
What? Bringing some, the, bringing some of the Renfest to the Die Laughing. Costumes not necessary. We will be wearing real people's
costumes.
Clothes.
I'm really confused.
We are not going to be doing that. Oh my God, is the one I'm looking at right now. Yes, Nancy's event.
Yes.
Okay, so Nancy is doing the history of stand-up.
Mm-hmm.
She did a preview of this at the lab. It is the funniest fucking thing. She comes on and does the super professorial persona and gives it... it's Bob Newhart in the best way.
What?
Right?
Do love me some Bob Newhart.
Oh, right? No, I know. And that's the thing. It's like she hits this tone, at least in the preview, that I fucking love. And it's a history of stand-up from someone who's clearly clueless and yet... is hitting truths that if you are a comedy performer, you will just be like, oh, right to the heart. Like, it was, that preview was so spot, I was like, God damn it. Like, that was so spot on. It's really good. I mean, that's, that is one of the wild cards that I'm very, very much looking forward to this year.
Right.
God, no, and also, I should point out, we can't help but offend someone by forgetting them because there's too much going on.
Oh, we would literally have to list every single act.
We did that last week.
Exactly. Yeah,
we did. But I'm just running off the ones that are popping up on my Facebook feed right now. And even besides that, I can think of, obviously, Fearless Lab has a shot. I feel like I know at least one person in the room.
Not it.
Who's performing at that. So.
Not it.
It's Salsa.
Oh.
Yep.
No, it's not. It's Casimir.
Yep.
You booked that asshole.
I did.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Casimir. He's cool.
He's actually really good. Salsa's a dick.
Yeah.
I will point out, Fearless Lab does have a time from, I believe, 4 to 5 on Saturday in the PM.
Yep.
To perform. And much as I booked the Fearless Lab and our usual venue at Honey to be Fearless Folk doing a taste of what they're doing at Die Laughing... which, by the way, I don't know how many Fearless people still listen to this because, you know, they're friends of ours. It doesn't have anymore. I'll post this to the company. But, you know, glory be and all hail to everyone that performed in that last lab show, because I booked 7 acts in a 1-hour show and gave everyone about 5 minutes, and we ended exactly on time.
Nice.
Yes.
Fucking everybody, professionals.
Everybody showed up, brought it, nailed their time, got out. And we had time to even do a quick outro and, like, pimp the show. It was
nice.
Perfect. It was consummate professionalism while being funny the whole time. Like, awesome. I was so proud of all the people that showed up. Because, like, they all went, like, how long do I have? I'm like, you probably only have 5 minutes. I'll give you a warning if I need to. And every single person was like, I'm out. On a big laugh and dipped. And then I had time to go, like, thank you to them. Additional bit of information about Die Laughing, next person. I was like, oh, this is fucking... It was the best kind of show to run.
Nice.
Where everybody shows up with their A game and paying attention and being, you know, conscientious of the other people that are going to share their stage.
Yeah.
And having a good time and support and staying around and supporting people. It was a fucking wonderful show. If you were there, you're welcome. I didn't do anything. They all did. But it was really, really fun. So, Fearless Lab will be 4 to 5 on Saturday. And this time I went for things that are outside of what we've done at Lab in general. So I tried to vary it up. So we've got some circus acts. We've got some musical acts. We've got some stand-up acts. The idea would be I want to show people what is possible at the Fearless Lab, which is all you have to do is attempt to be funny.
Yeah.
I don't give a shit how you get there. Whatever your preferred format is, bring that.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully, if you're watching at home, either... on dialaughingmarathon.com, or, you know, if you show up at the theater in person, we'll watch one of these and go, I could give that a shot.
Yeah.
If one person tries to do Fearless Lab because of that, this will have been a success for me.
I hope they don't try what I'm going to be trying.
I would hope not as well. But the whole point for me was, let's give people a very wide variety of things to watch so that they can feel like whatever they're thinking of will fit in. Because, you know what, if you're thinking, I could try to do this thing that I think might be funny, the answer is yes, it will fit in this show.
Not traditional stand-up.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Yeah. It's not a stand-up open mic. We do stand-up, that's fine. Mm-hmm. I love stand-up, I welcome stand-up. But it doesn't have to be that. It doesn't have to be improv. It doesn't have to be storytelling. It doesn't have to be music. It doesn't have to be circus arts. Do what you do that makes you laugh or that you think you can do to make someone else laugh. And so I hope we inspire a few more people to get out and try comedy for the first time or try something new, because that's the whole point. So... anyway, that's it. Any other favorites we want to pimp?
Epic lip sync battle.
Yes,
it's gonna be
always a favorite. Since what,
it's like an hour and a half or something like that.
Yeah,
boy, I don't know.
But epic lip sync battle is 2 hours from 8:30 to 10:30.
Yeah. So much of your favorite music.
Which is my MC shift, and it's a 2-hour block.
Oh, fun. Nice.
Yeah,
it's a 2-hour block in my MC shift.
The laziest MC shift.
I know.
Shit.
I kind of feel like the 4.5 hours of us and I Have Five Guys is pretty lazy too.
Shh.
I mean, are we even gonna let them talk during that?
Like, I guess that depends on the money, right?
Yeah,
right? I suppose there's that.
Money.
Yeah, epic limpsic.
Yep, epic go for it.
Wow. Jesus fucking Christ, we'll be good.
I'm glad you're opening.
You should probably also see a little show called Terms of Disagreement.
Hell yeah.
That's at 3:30.
I believe you've released on one first. Of the episodes I've recorded with you guys.
Oh, I don't remember.
Because that was a fucking hoot.
I'm just the host. I'm not actually in charge of releasing
them. No, for sure. But like, so. I think one of the ones I've done is now up. I think I posted a link to it. But man, that show is a fucking blast to do. And everyone in the room is always like stifling their laughter as best they can. And you can be in that room.
Yeah.
Why would you not?
Because we're going to have such people as... James Fairburn.
Nice.
He's going to be on there.
Excellent.
I heard about one guy.
You did hear about one guy. You may have heard of him. I don't know.
I mean, he's not super
his name. I mean, his name's Matt Kesson.
Oh,
but
shit.
I don't know if
he's... I know, right?
How is anyone going to argue with the voice of authority?
I don't know.
We call him the voice of God.
That is so good. Oh, yes. God, that's awesome.
Yeah.
What time's that show? Do we know?
3:30 on Saturday afternoon.
Yep. Oh, right before my show.
Right before lab.
Okay, we better watch it then.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go from that show directly to Casimir.
Oh, I'll give you time.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can tweak the order. Mm-hmm. Oh, God, that's super fun. That's super, super fun.
Yeah.
And a couple other people who I will dole out... it's teasers as time goes on.
Nice. Ooh.
Nice.
I don't want to show my whole hand right now.
Makes sense. Yeah.
I am super excited for the White Male Privileged Dancers show this year. I know what people are doing.
Last year. Yeah.
And I just, oh my God. I just want to pimp that one again. That's 1:30 to 2:30 a.m. Saturday, April 1st. That is the start of my... shit, five and a half hour back-to-back-to-back-to-back-to-back. So there's the White Male Privileged Dancers, 1:30 to 2:30. 2:30 to 3:30 a.m. is the High Five podcast.
Mm-hmm.
But we have special AON and High Five rivalries going on throughout this thing. So you may or may not
things may
be
get
there.
Shit's going to go down.
Right. then... 3:30 to 5 a.m. because fuck us is the Apropos of Nothing podcast.
You know what? Sometimes you take one for the team.
Yeah.
Right. So, yeah. Sometimes you take one and a half for the team.
Yeah. What will happen is that the three of us will start the day. Well, if it's me, because I work Friday, I will get up at 5:45 in the morning.
Ugh.
And I will go to sleep roughly 26 hours later. I'm not sure how many hours I get to sleep because I don't know when my next show is. It may only be a couple hours. And that's how my weekend starts. And that is not unusual for your average Fearless Company member who's working Die Laughing. Because even if they're not on stage, they are most likely working box office or coordinating volunteers or helping people get food or working sound or working the streaming service. It is something that I think is important to point out that we might as well start doing now is... If you are in the theater watching the show, what you see is the acts that are performing who are amazing and talented and generous with their time. And an MC who is doing a bang-up job, I'm sure. However, the fact that you can see those people means there's someone in the booth.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that you can see those people if you're not in the theater means there's at least one person working the stream. If you can hear those people, that's another person either working the stream or the booth. If you can get into the building, that means there's someone working the door. If you feel safe walking to your car, that means it's because we've hired someone to work security, which we're doing this year to make sure that now that we're in a more public place, people can come and go to the theater with an escort if they so choose. If you want to be able to make sure that you know X, Y, and Z all happen, you probably only see five people at a time, but we're talking give or take 40, 50 people overall in any given five-hour span to make this a reality.
Yeah.
And it's an amazing thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'll start my thank yous now with, you know, of course, everyone in Fearless whom are going to be doing an incredible amount of work. Oh. And for a lot of folks, our company's gotten much bigger in the last year. This will be many people's first Die Laughing as a company member. They've probably been there as a performer in the past or maybe as an attendee.
Yeah.
This is where the rubber hits the road.
Right.
And they'll see exactly what this feels like. And it's not easy. This is very, very difficult.
We have... I can actually do this much. Let's see. Do I have it here? Yeah. People that are heading up areas. So, like, people that are in charge of some specific things. Starting with
Jenna.
No, fuck her.
Who's in charge of what a bitch. Fucking everything.
And to be fair, the emails I'm getting, she's in a bang-up job. I gotta say.
No, she,
what?
She's fucking good at this.
God damn it. Don't make me blush. No, that's awkward.
Gross. we'll say it's rosacea.
Actually, I might actually
have. Am I right? No. To be fair, everybody, Jenna is our
event coordinator?
Yes.
I was going to do like a creepy like Black Widow spider pulling the strings.
Oh, I see.
Yes.
Puppet master?
This got much better.
Right?
The puppet master?
If you have had questions or been volunteering or... you know, looking to perform, whatever. Most of your questions up to this point, and of course there are different department heads, but Jenna is kind of the hub through which most of Die Laughing happens. So thank you, Jenna, for, I think this is year 4 now?
Yep, and this is the 4th year.
Yep.
I've been doing this all 4 years.
Of the fact that this manages to happen, and it does take a company, but you do need kind of a one particular...
Some asshole to tell you where to
go. Someone has to be at the wheel.
The CEO. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so Jenna has generously volunteered to do that all 4 years, and you'll note it's worked every year.
Despite my best efforts.
So thank you, Jenna. Do not forget, whether or not you see Jenna on stage, off stage, or anywhere.
Or passed out in a corner crying.
To give Jenna the fist bump of joy, or the fist bump of you can sleep now.
Or the fist bump of here's a cold press.
Yeah.
That also caffeine is very welcome at laughing.
But I gotta say, this year I am the event coordinator, but I've also got a kind of a co-sub coordinator with me, Jesse Goines.
Yes, Jesse Goines the Fantastic Voyage Improv, friends of ours that we met last year.
Yeah.
Who's performed at this for quite a few years and then has joined Fearless this year.
And then joined
the
Fearless.
The insanity of the Mousetrap Improv was started by the group she worked with last year.
Yes. She's been doing a bang up job of following up on things, of just checking in with people, making sure things are getting done.
And we should point out too, she was voluntold.
Yeah,
she was your assistant. It was like, I guess I'm this person now. And
I just randomly got this message, like, so I'm doing this thing.
But the thing is, like, she stepped up.
Yeah.
You know, and that's amazing. Like, and so, you know, bravo to her. And honestly, like, again, for anybody in the company that has just stepped up and taken charge of something, but, like, that's someone who is like, Jesse seems like she'd be into that. And, you know, had she said, like, I don't have the time or I'm not comfortable, like, we would have found someone else. But she was like, no, I got this. And she did.
Yeah.
And that's amazing. That's
She's
a
been
wonderful thing.
Absolutely.
So thank
on
you.
Top of
thank
that.
You, Jesse.
And then challenges, once again, Eric Thompson.
you can't give away challenges.
Yeah.
Yet.
Plenty.
There's going to be some new ones.
With help from Tim Wick.
Yes.
They are co-doing this.
And the occasional feedback from other company members.
Yeah.
Like, we can leave that open. Like, you can suggest a challenge. If you're a Fearless company member, you get to say, what if we did this? And to be fair, I think Eric Thompson has the best rule. Is if you suggest a challenge, you have to be willing to do it. And man, did that make the challenges more realistic.
What if we kick Matt in the balls? Wouldn't that be funny?
Yeah. And so, no, we, and honestly, there's, they are different this year. Your favorites, your favorites are coming back, but there are some new things.
They're going to be so good.
It's, I'm very much looking forward to that. We'll see. Like, we have a company meeting this Thursday in a couple days. So let's, you know, make sure at least one of us remembers to find out how far we can go to talking about specific challenges next week.
Mm-hmm.
So if we can talk about them early, I'll talk about them early.
All right.
If we want to save them, we'll save them.
Yeah.
Let's see what we as a company think. But it may not be a bad idea to pimp at least a couple. But we'll keep them vague for now.
But I have to say, Eric has been doing this, I think, since like the second year.
Two.
I want to say year.
Wasn't he in charge first year?
I don't know how much we had for challenges.
I don't mean to sound short. I'm not trying to be
year.
Insulting. I can't remember.
Yeah,
there,
I honestly,
fewer
I can't.
That first year,
yeah,
it was more silent auction that first.
That's
year.
True.
Which we still do, but I feel like it was challenges where we didn't quite have a handle on it. If he didn't do them the first year, or even if he did, I feel like he was the one that like figured out how to make them work.
Oh yeah, and that's exactly
and
what
that's
I wanted
what
to
matters.
Get to. Is he's the one that has the background and the know-how. He's amazing at setting like. Realistic and price point and
fun
and fun
stuff
yeah.
people want to see that is
Yeah. Well, and varying it up. Some of them run the entire duration, and some of them only run for 1 hour.
Track of
and
all of that.
Some of them run the.
It's a spreadsheet job, which is the kind of job I don't want.
Yeah. So, speaking of, we do have a silent auction this year.
We do.
And that has been headed up by Kyle Decker.
Oh, excellent.
So he's been curating various items and pulling things together for that with some assistance from Jim Lewis, just because Kyle hasn't done it before.
The lovely and talented Jim.
Yeah. Yes.
Jim, by the way, the managing director of Fearless Now.
Yeah.
One of the guys you will see the least on camera or on stage, mm-hmm. and yet does some of the most work.
Sometimes I think he does more than I do for this thing.
It is Jim.
He is absolutely, he's a powerhouse.
Fearless would not work.
He never stops working on Fearless all year round.
He has a full-time job.
I know.
Maybe more than full-time.
Ridiculous. I don't know.
Yeah. So no, Jim, if you ever see Jim, one, hand him some true stone.
Yes.
Because he'll need it.
You know that one that you were going to give to me?
And if there's, honestly, if there's something you like that Fearless does, give Jim a fist bump. And say thanks, because he may not have created that show. He may not be the producer of that show. He might be the host of that show. He might even perform that show. But I bet you he worked the door.
Yeah.
Or he organized the idea of getting the marketing done.
Yeah.
Or worked with the marketing now. Now that separate marketing
now that
person.
We have marketing, which is fantastic.
For a while, he was wearing two hats. Or he figured out the paperwork with the venue. Or, like, everything that needs to happen so that we can show up and just do jokes.
Yeah.
Is something that Jim is instrumental in, and is...
Hey, Jim, this is a financially legal thing. Can you handle this?
Yeah.
And he's on it.
Valuable. Yeah. Jim, you need more people like Jim in your life if you have a company.
So Jim has been backing Kyle on this, and there's some really awesome stuff out there. So
and we can hopefully talk
about
some of those items next week.
Yeah, hopefully. Awesome. And then Jim is also, of course, running Box Office with Suzanne Cross.
Yay!
Another new member this year.
Sister from Hardwired.
Another new member this year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God, so many.
I know.
And then...
oh my God, so much this year.
Let's see, who else do we have? We do have a new department this year, hospitality.
Yeah.
So Kara and Aiden, although Kara's been really kind of just powering through all of that, and Aiden's been helping out because he took on a position within Fearless, helping as the assistant for managing, I believe.
Yes, he's assistant managing.
Yeah. So Kara's really stepped up and just kind of taken over that whole thing. She's handling, like, security stuff, some appreciation things, figuring out things within the neighborhood. To really try to get more of that, the safety and the collective feel and the ease of getting there. I believe we have some parking things we may have figured out to help with people just getting there. So, she's been on top of an awful lot.
Well, and also making the performers just feel welcome.
Yeah.
Yeah. And once again, the boring.
Yep.
And not to diminish the job, because the job is important. The boring practicalities that no one wants to think of. When you think of doing a show, you think, well, I step on stage, and I'm a fucking god for 15 minutes, and then I step off stage, everybody showers me with blowjobs and autograph requests, and I go home. And it's like, well, I mean, that's true, except you parked four and a half blocks away, it was raining, and then the person at the door didn't know who you were, and you had to go in and, like, get someone to run in, like, can you go talk to Bobby, and then Bobby has to come out and vouch for you, you go in, you come back out, and then you have your drink ticket, and blah, blah, blah.
And then you've got to track down the person in the booth to get your sound figured out
and they
while like, he's trying
you've got
to
Android,
do yeah.
You've got iPhone. But like Kara's the person who goes, no, don't worry. Show up and do that. Do exactly what you're picturing in your head. And that's a very important job. Because we are asking people to donate their time to help us continue to exist as a company. And you need someone to go, hey, that experience didn't suck. I would do it again.
Yep.
And she's taking that over, and that's a huge responsibility.
Man, she has. Along with that, our volunteers coordinator, Nancy.
Yes.
Holy shit. She has been calling up to people and getting things scheduled. I've got this spreadsheet that's got, like, all of these names on it, and it's...
You wouldn't believe the number of spreadsheets.
Like, I do... I do the booking for the event.
There's a spreadsheet to keep track of my spreadsheet.
I do the booking for the event, and I focus on this one column. And Nancy helps coordinate all of the volunteer stuff and get that, like, figured out. And she's got, like, these seven other columns like over here. The same spreadsheet. It's incredible.
It's nightmarish. Yeah, that is, and again, wicked important. Because there are a lot of us, but there are not enough of us. Because a certain percentage of us are on stage at any given time, or working the booth.
Or trying to get 3 hours of sleep before they're back on stage for five more hours.
Or, you know, or some of us have, like, we have to go work our day job.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, very few of us are full-time performers. In fact, maybe none of us. There might not be many. I think it's maybe a couple. But
I think there's a few people that are at least like
some kind of self-employed
theater.
Like it's you know, most of us are still, you know, working.
Yeah.
And so there are people who work weekends, you know, that's not an unrealistic expectation if you are in this kind of position. And so someone that's going to corral the extra bodies needed is, again, an insane undertaking and one that is infinitely valuable. And we should point out, if you would still like to volunteer, you can do so. We need people to help and, you know, sit and work box office or X, Y, and Z. If you go to the Fearless Enablers webpage?
Yeah, or Facebook, you could just go to DieLaughingMarathon.com. Yeah, it's the form itself is actually on DieLaughingMarathon.
Perfect. Okay, then go to DieLaughingMarathon.com. And if you know, if you want to go, hey, I like what you're doing, you know, and here's the thing, I think I pointed out before, we'll use the Jordan Jesse Go rules when they do their annual fundraiser. If you are unemployed, you are excused from being asked for money.
Yep.
If you are like a student, if you're in college, excused. Come see the show. And you know what? Realistically, anybody, come see the show. It's good to have an audience. However, if you are capable of being there and have an extra hour or two, hit up DieLaughingMarathon.com and find a time where you can spend an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, something like that, working any of the simple tasks that we might have, wherein you might be, you know, busy or not very busy. But what you are doing is giving someone who has maybe not slept in 30 hours 3 hours to nap before the next time they have to try to be funny. And like that is invaluable as well. So believe me, your time is as valuable as money. Thanks. And again, I should also point out, as we get nearer and nearer, now is the time to start sharing Die Laughing events on Facebook, Twitter, etc. There is, of course, the main Die Laughing event. You can share that. If there's a particular show or event as part of the fundraiser that you are excited about, share that as well. But another way that if you are short on cash, as all of us always are, share, like.
Yep.
Make sure that you're raising visibility and awareness of any of these things as much as you possibly can.
All right. I got a couple more departments because there's a lot of shit that goes into this. I don't know if you guys are aware. For live streaming.
Woo!
We have Andrea Rapella and Jason Edstrom.
I cannot get used to Rapella.
Yeah.
For Andrea. That throws my shit off every time.
Andy Rope.
Okay, that might make it stick.
All right. but these are the people, for all of you that are not in this city, or country, or hemisphere.
Or wherever it might be.
These are the people running your live stream.
Yeah.
They're the ones that figure out all of the technical stuff. They're the ones that, and they have been working on the live stream issues that we had last year, and we believe we may actually have that cleared up.
And we should point out, the live stream issues we had last year, infinitely smaller than the year before.
Yeah. Right.
Which is infinitely smaller than the year before that.
Yeah, and when Andrea, I say issues Jason, last year, I mean, like, there were a few frames dropped
here and
there.
Blips and bloops, yeah. But we're talking, Andrea and Jason have busted their asses to make this a real and viable thing, which was the thing we started doing before we had any right to claim the ability.
It was really one of those say yes and then figure it out later
exactly.
things.
And they've really done a bang up job. And I believe the two of them, and I believe Miss Melissa, is another one of the folks that spends a lot of time manning that board. So it is basically a three-person job for the most part. There are other people that volunteer, and I don't diminish their contributions.
Yep.
But it is usually those three.
Well, they're the ones that know, like, if something happens with the stream.
You go how to fix it.
Yeah, they're basically on call.
At all times, yeah. And so those three make this a reality, and every year it gets better, and it's...
It's not only live stream, but also a Twitter wall.
So they handle the stream, but also the social media stuff that's happening during the event. It's incredible.
Keeping the social media flowing as well.
Better. And And for those of you that are watching,
a lot of the tweets coming from Die Laughing will come from them.
Yep.
Yep. And great stuff.
Yeah, and then we also have... That's it.
That's enough.
There's nobody else. Oh, no, wait. I lied. There's some kind of, like, stage tech stuff. Sounds dumb. But that would be...
That would be Nate.
Yeah, Nathan Gerber. It says Salsa Sterling here, but I don't believe he's doing anything for that. So.
I ain't done
I was
shit.
With you when you said Nathan.
Right?
And it lost me at Salsa.
No, but the two of them have been working on figuring out equipment stuff. Plus, partway into this process, we gained a fearless tech person. So, Stefan.
Yes.
Has been Stefan. Doing a whole bunch of coordinating with these two. To make sure that you guys look pretty on stage, and maybe we can hear your shit.
Yeah, I know we talk about it periodically, but it is no joke. Without a proper and caring person in the tech booth, you could be doing the best show of your life, and you will look like.
And I know for a fact, having had conversations with Stefan, that he has been reading the manuals for like the soundboard in that theater. Yes.
No, for sure.
So he already, before he even walks in, is going to know how to rig things up to be the simplest possible for whoever is going to be volunteering to run tech at various points to hit this button to make this thing happen.
Yeah, and for you folks that have been around for a while, Stefan was the guy I brought in to do light and sound for Build Your Own Inferno.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And
he does sound for Terms of Disagreement now,
exactly.
too.
Exactly. And he is a guy who came in from a good degree in sound design, but had never done light. Turns out, though, I believe it's sister-in-law, is the person that does that for the Southern Theater.
Yep.
And so I lucked out by having her set the lights in the mounds with Stefan for my show, so I kind of got a twofer.
And he also did Harbingers.
And he did Harbingers, yeah, exactly.
And he did not have his sister with him that day.
Oh, no, exactly. No, because that's the thing. It's like, Stefan's a dude who fucking pays
just
attention
picked
and learns.
Up on it.
Yep.
And so he's like, I'd like to do the show, but I don't have any experience doing light. I'm like, we'll figure it out together. And I was like, you'll figure it out with someone smarter than me. Yay! And which means that, Stefan, if you're listening, I'll be talking to you, because I got a fringe show coming up. I'm going to need some sound and light and design.
But yeah, no, he's been doing a lot of homework on that.
Yeah. No, he is super talented, and the more I can work with him, the better.
Then there is one more person that I have to mention, and that is Caitlin Knight.
Of course.
Yes. Caitlin is the person that makes all of my data happen. Mm-hmm. She does, she helps. Number one, she's kind of my verification person. Like, when I send an email, she's the one that makes sure it gets followed up on. She keeps me to task. She does not, Jesse is like the person that talks to everybody else and says, hey, how's sound? Mm-hmm. Hey, how's live streaming? Hey, how's sell and auction? How are these things going? Caitlin is the person that says, Jenna, have you done this?
She's your
PA. How can I help? Yeah. Only way cooler.
Well, yeah.
And probably smarter than me.
Also can brew a wicked beer.
Yeah.
Truth.
Caitlin has, she's the one that put up all of the events on the website. She just keeps me to task and helps keep things organized. And I remember doing this without her, and oh dear God in heaven, did that suck. So, yeah. I think that's everybody for, like, just the
department heads.
That's just people leading various areas.
Right. Those are the folks that you might be directed to speak to at some point.
But that is not all of the other people that are helping in various ways, where if we have a question for Fearless, somebody will pop up and be like, oh, hey, I can help with that.
Yeah.
All of the volunteers that go into the holy shit.
As a
all
company
the MCs
member,
and
yeah,
all
as a company member, this is an all hands on deck. Everyone will be doing something at some point, and we have many friends of the company that'll be volunteering. Mm-hmm. If you are close enough to attend Die Laughing in person, I humbly ask that you do, even if you just show up for an hour. If you got an hour. Just to check it out and see what it's like to watch an event like this come together. I truly think this is something that is unique to the Twin Cities and shows the best of what the theater community here can put together.
Mm-hmm.
If you are not local, even easier to tune in for a minute or two here and there, an hour or whatever, and just see what might be on, and, you know, find a laugh or two on your lunch break or after you get home from work or before you go to work while you're eating your cereal. And just, to me, the part of this that is so staggering is that we as a company have ambitions and goals and things, and you've heard us talk about that. And the fact that this event comes together each year is a number of people saying, we all have our own ambitions and goals and dreams, and I'm going to help support yours, and by you giving me this time, you're helping support mine, and someday when I say, hey, come to my show, you'll be there. And I think that's really what it's all about, is it's the idea that theater, as performers, is a community, not just as an audience. I think there is a theater-going audience community, and, you know, that's something you try to broaden, and that's kind of the ongoing arts battle. But the theater-producing community, or the theater-participating or performance community, in a lot of cities, is very fractured. You have your stand-ups, you have your improv artists, you have your comedy theater, your dinner theater, your dramatic theater, your Shakespearean theater, and nary the twain shall meet. And I feel like we have a really awesome community here where you get more overlap than you might in the average community, and you get to watch people, even if they might come from a different discipline, push themselves outside of that to do something silly every now and again. And yep. We are lucky enough that some of them will do that silly thing with us and for us. So please, 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 if you have the chance, in some way, shape, or form, watch Die Laughing, which will start at 7 p.m. March 31st, go to 9 p.m. April 2nd. You can see it in person at the Phoenix Theater on 26th and Hennepin.
Hennepin.
Been a while,
huh?
Yeah, well, you can go see it in person there, or you can watch it at dielaughingmarathon.com. And if nothing else, if you don't have the extra scratch to contribute, which is totally fine, spend the time instead in the extra 30 seconds, share a link, share a like, show that you're interested in an event on Facebook, do a
retweet,
people. Something like that. Yeah. There are plenty of ways to help that are free.
Word of mouth. Tell your friends.
Help. Yeah.
Oh,
because
my God, yes.
we do not.
Don't just share a Facebook link. Tell your friends.
Yeah.
Say, hey, you should go to this
yep.
thing.
A conversation around dinner goes a long way. You know, an actual email, not just a share or whatever, goes very, very far. But yeah, you know. So hey, if you listen to this, you are probably one of those folks that supports us anyway. So thank you for that. And on that note, I believe
holy shit.
We can get out of here.
There are 129 people interested in the competitive erotic fang fiction at Die Laughing.
Well, how could you not be?
5:30 a.m.
That might be.
On Sunday. Fucking
A. I believe Megan's doing that one.
So, yeah, no, that one's going to be.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
All right. So, on that note, we're going to get out of here for this week.
Thank God.
We're going to talk even more about Die Laughing next week, I swear to God.
Oh, for
it's
fuck's sake.
It's pretty much going to be all we do,
It's
going to
be amazing.
And then until it's done, and then we'll talk about what happened
forever.
Well,
but by that point, we'll have war stories.
Yeah.
Don't be surprised if that next week's episode is a little late.
Yeah.
So, we'll see.
I took Monday off of work.
Because
I'm so I took the week.
Yeah.
I took next Wednesday through next Tuesday.
I'm taking a half day on Friday and Monday off.
I don't get PTO for my job, so if I take a day off, I have to just lose the money. I'm like, I can take one.
That really sucks to be you. Huh?
Yeah, you know what? My life's pretty good.
Life is hard.
All right, guys. We're going to be done, and we'll talk to you next week. Thanks again. Take care of yourselves and each other. Eat the fucking cake.
Hey everybody, you should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast, or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for apropos of nothing.
Levels. This is me talking into a microphone.
This is me talking into a different microphone.
I get a microphone too.
No, you don't.
None for you.